And again, I've been quite careful here, but those two things, again, are not mutually exclusive. There are many trainers who have skated quite close to the perimeter fence over the years. And when it's found out that that might be the case, people assume that their achievements, therefore, are rendered insignificant. Well, it certainly leaves a tarnish on their career, and so it should. But that doesn't mean to say that they're not and haven't been inherently quite talented operators for all sorts of other perfectly valid reasons. So, just because someone has, as I say, pushed the boundaries or broken the rules, it doesn't necessarily mean that when they have been abiding by the rules, they haven't been able to do things that are evidence of significant talent. So, I think I've phrased that diplomatically.
Absolutely.
Enough, not to get you into any trouble.
No, I am. I've said this a while. You don't. Horses that have been inappropriately treated, they fall apart. They don't stay in form for campaign after campaign, and that's just a fact. So
if it was that easy, anybody could do it. If it was that easy, anybody could train a Kentucky Derby winner, or These things are never as black and white as they're presented.
Nick Luck with us. And Nick, a couple of things to kind of weave into this. You know, you did do you did Luck on Sunday. You spent time with Brendan Walsh. You had Mike Smith. I haven't been able to watch anything except for the racing TV clips. They've got about a minute and a half clippings. But talk about talk about the aftermath and your discussions. You also weighed in. I thought quite appropriately about appeasement issue that we're facing here domestically regarding PETA and the situation at Santa Anita.
I had a feeling this would come up, so I hope that I don't upset too many people by what I'm going to say, but I think that it's a very depressing state of affairs on the West Coast at the moment. Very sad and depressing state of affairs, foremost because there are too many horses dying. That's the simple truth of it. There are too many horses dying, and there is no clear cause established for that sequence. It may be freakish, it may be a spike, but there is no clear cause established. It's quite right that the Stronach group react, and it's quite right that they react and attempt to show some leadership, because nobody else is showing any leadership, so they shouldn't be criticized for attempting to show leadership when there is no leadership being shown anywhere else. I don't have any issue with that at all. Where there is a significant problem, and I don't care whether this is in California or anywhere else, where there is a significant problem is that it's been decided in the rush to make racing appear better for everybody, whether they like the sport, don't like the sport, or are simply downright hostile to the continuation of the sport, should have some sort of say in how the sport is operated. Now that, to me, doesn't make any sense at all. When you talk about strong leadership, it doesn't mean that you go to the person who dislikes the sport the most, or the group of people that actively wants to see the sport finished off forever, no matter where it is in the world, and say to them, do you approve of what we're doing? Is it all right by you? What reaction do you expect when an incident then takes place 5 days later, 6 days later? You've allowed people who are naturally hostile to what you're trying to do to have a voice in influencing the sport. And that cannot be. That cannot be right. You can debate whether it's right to medicate horses with Lasix on race day. I personally think that it would be right for the whole sport if there was one unified medication policy across the major racing jurisdictions in North America. Who doesn't genuinely believe that? And that there was a reduction, an eventual elimination of race day Lasix. That has to be right for the furtherance of the sport in North America. It has to be. in terms of the way that the global horsemen perceive of racing. I appreciate that. There is a debate to be had about how you regulate the use of the whip or the crop or the cushion crop. You can call it what you will, but this is a horse racing program. We're all grown-ups here. I think we know what it is and what it does. There is a grown-up debate to be had about that. Again, involving consistency of regulation and actually some active regulation so it doesn't get out of control. People should be acting responsibly when they're riding horses. But the minute you say, as a jurisdiction, for example, what we're going to do now, we think public perception doesn't like the look of horses being whipped, so we take that away. Well, do you think that public perception actually likes horses being raced? Can you justify the notion that hitting a horse in a race is crueler than racing a horse? Well, of course it's not. So you either allow some nebulous ethics to overtake your sport, or you regulate your sport properly from within with an independent regulatory body, and you say, this is our sport, this is the way we regulate it, we regulate it robustly, and it may well be that given it's 2019, we have to regulate it a damn sight more robustly than we did in 1959, 1909, or 1859. This is not an anti-progressive rant, but what we're not going to do is allow people who represent a very small percentage of the population, no matter what they claim, to start governing the internal ethics of the sport of horse racing. It is not the case that the majority of people believe that milking a cow is cruel. That is simply not the case. Yes, there is a shift in people's attitude to the way that animals and humans interact. But if you still subscribe to the view that there is a relationship between people and animals that is mutually beneficial, as I see it, then you can subscribe to the view that horse racing is a perfectly reasonable pursuit if it is properly and fairly regulated. And the idea that you could ignore the testimony of incredibly experienced practitioners and horsemen who've been ambassadors for the sport over years and years and years, you can ignore their testimony and brush it aside in favor of not even thinly veiled threats from what is not an animal rights organization, what is not an animal welfare organization, is an animal rights political campaigning lobby, then you are going to, you may as well just watch the sport go to hell in a handcart. This is an absolutely pivotal moment. I don't blame the Stronach Group for what they're attempting to achieve, because their goal is an admirable one. But the way that the sense of panic that has set in going about achieving that goal has opened up a really, really dangerous situation. And that dangerous situation has got to have grave consequences for the future of Californian racing, unless somebody gets everyone by the scruff of the neck and says, come on now, let's accentuate the positives and stand up for the sport, accept the fact that the sport has inherent risks, but convince everybody that we can take a really strong, unified regulatory approach to this and show everyone we've got decent, strong leadership and good inherent morals, for want of a better way of putting it. So rant over, Steve. Thanks very much. I've been bubbling that away for about 2 weeks now, and you give me the chance to say it.
Well, and nobody here has been able to say it as eloquently, and I can't tell you how appreciative I am, and particularly, you know, this is a subject that hits home with Aintree coming up and with the Grand National, where when there's been incidents in the Grand National where 8 or 9 horses straggle home from 35 starters, there's great outcries. And so
yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's very timely.
But I declare my interest here. I'm a non-executive director of Aintree Racecourse, where they run a race over 4.5 miles, over 5-foot obstacles, you know, 30 fences. And some of those fences have a slight drop on them. But I've seen it firsthand how the racecourse has taken ownership. The racecourse, in conjunction with the British Horse Racing Authority, and in conjunction with World Horse Welfare, and in conjunction with the Royal Society for Protection of Cruelty to Animals, genuine animal welfare groups, who will hold the sport to account, but will do so in a fair and balanced way, they have come together with the racecourse, the Jockey Club, and the British Horse Racing Authority, and showed genuine leadership in enabling that race's survival. And they've done so by making adjustments to the racecourse to essentially make the sport safer, but without removing the essence of the challenge it poses to horse and rider. It is still 4.5 miles. It's still 30 fences. The fences are still 5 foot high, or 4 foot six high, 4 foot nine high minimum. So the essence of the challenge has not changed. But what has changed are the welfare measures pre and post race, the suitability of horses to run in the race. The race conditions have changed. The washdown methods have changed. The cool down methods have changed. The veterinary record checking has changed. The trot up procedures before the race have been altered. Not only that, the internal cores of all the fences have been changed. So if there is a faller, or a horse does hit a fence halfway up, the material used to make the fences a load more forgiving. So you're reducing the chance of serious injury. You can now bypass the fence. So any horse that is receiving veterinary treatment can be gone round by the rest of the field. There are now pens to catch loose horses, so horses can't injure themselves if they come apart from their riders, or it's much less likely that they injure themselves. So if those measures hadn't been taken, and strong leadership hadn't been shown, and cooperation hadn't been shown, then the Grand National probably wouldn't exist now, or at least its future would be threatened in the same way that racing in California is now being threatened. And I can't see that. I'm not going to say I can't see the way back, but in dark moments, I'm struggling to see the way back.
Nick Luck, everybody. The most decorated presenter in the UK, and respected worldwide for his love of the game and his delivery of it. And Nick, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. And